And that's just a preview for what we're going to get Christmas Eve. That is beautiful. Every Sunday you bless us, and it is thrilling. It is so thrilling. Thank you so much. Really, really touched by that. You invite us into God's presence through your voices and through your smiles and through your song, and I thank you so much for that gift. So Caitlin read to us Matthew's version of the Christmas story. The version nobody likes Matthew's version. Everybody likes Luke's version. I know how that can be sometimes. You know how it is when people have favorites, you know? Which is really sad because Diane only has one husband and I'm not her favorite. I don't understand how that works out, you know? I mean, it just I'll tell you why, because you have kids or you have a dog and all of a sudden you're just, you know, somebody who cuts the grass or something. I don't know. This is what happens when I don't read my notes. All right. So the thing is, it's about Joseph, okay? And a lot of times people think, well, we don't really need Joseph. I mean, he's not the part. When you have kids and youth groups and you're doing the Christmas pageants, he's the part that nobody wants. He doesn't have any lines. He doesn't say anything. He just seems to just stand there like he doesn't have a clue what's going on. He doesn't get it. And the story is told. Clara is 5 years old, and her mom is teaching her about Christmas by setting up a nativity scene. You know, that most people at their houses have little nativity scenes. And so she's doing that. She's using the nativity set, and she's helping Clara. But now Clara has been going to Sunday school before she even knew what Sunday school was a Sunday school. She just went all the time. So she points to Mary, and of course Clara says, "That's Mary." And she points to the baby, "That's Jesus." And she points to the wise men, "Those are the wise men. They bring gifts to Jesus." And she points to the shepherd, those are the shepherds, and they bring animals to Jesus. And you're like, okay, what? Okay, yeah, they brought animals. They got the so she knows the sheep and she knows the donkey and then the angels. She knows the angels are there too. And then mom points to Joseph, and Clara is stumped. She's looking around, bites on her lip, touches her cheek, and then says, "Barn boy." There he is, standing in the barn. Is he the barn boy? Is he the barn boy? Poor Joseph. And yet Joseph's really a character that we need in the Nativity. That's important. We hear in the passage that Mary and Joseph are betrothed. Now that sounds like a biblical word, doesn't it? Betrothed. When's the last time you used betrothed in a sentence to a coworker or anybody else? No, we don't use the word betrothed, but it's a word that we need to understand because betrothed is different than engagement, okay? I mean, some people get engaged on a Saturday night at a drive-in. You know what I'm talking? All right? To be betrothed, that is a legal binding contract. It's a two-step legal binding contract. So the first step is you get betrothed, you sign the contract, and then about a year later, that's when what we would think of as the wedding and the marriage actually happens. But it's a two-step process, and right now they're at that first step. Mary and Joseph are betrothed. And then we are told that Joseph is tzaddik. Joseph is tzaddik. That means he's more than just a good man. Joseph is righteous. He is just. Joseph is a man of integrity, of character, of moral values. He is a man who knows God, walks with God, knows God's law, follows God's law. But now he's a tzaddik with a problem. Because his fiancée is pregnant. And he knows he's not the dad. He doesn't know who the father is, but he knows it's not him. So he's a tzaddik with a problem, and it's a big problem because he's in a small town. Nazareth is a tiny town. And if you've ever grown up in a small town or lived in a small town, then you know word gets around pretty quick in a small town. And it's not like you're going to be able to hide a pregnancy for very long. People are going to figure out something's gone, something's going on. And how's that possible? Because Joseph is a tzaddik. He's a righteous man. He follows God's law. We've seen him grow up. He's that kind of guy. But now the girl he's promised to marry is pregnant. He's not the dad. What's he supposed to do? What's he supposed to do? Because according to Deuteronomy chapter 22, what he's supposed to do is have a tzaddik, is to have Mary brought before her father's house and people stone her. They kill her. That is in the Bible. When people say, "Oh, I just follow the Bible." No, you don't. First of all, you're wearing mixed linens, so you're not following the Bible. You ever have a cheeseburger, ham sandwich, some shrimp? You're not following the Bible, please, all right? He's exotic, though, and he's righteous. That's what the law says. You know, sometimes people just get so tied up in what the law means. If you've ever been in Kentucky, if you've ever been in Lexington, Kentucky, then you know that coming out of Lexington to the south is a Route 27. And about 3,000 years ago, when I was in school, and I would come from the seminary and go down Route 27 because I'm going down to Whitley City. Yes, Whitley, that Whitley City, the one you've all heard about, that big metropolis of Whitley City off of Route 27, 10 miles north of the Tennessee state line. Whitley City. And I'm going there because they have a church. Now, I had been assigned to the Maxwell Street Presbyterian Church in Lexington, which was a massive church. They had a pipe organ as big as a whole back wall. But they were never, ever, ever going to let me preach. And so I went to the seminary. I said, "I want to preach." And they go, "You're not going to ever get to preach." I go, "There's got to be a church somewhere desperate enough to let me preach." Next thing you know, I'm heading off to Whitley City, where I got to preach between 4 to 6 people. Average age was about 6,543. But anyways, I get a phone call, and you know, I'm the minister, and I'm in Lexington, and I'm going because I got to get down there to Whitley City. Somebody's in the hospital. I go, so I'm driving down Whitley on Route 27. And you go through Lancaster. You got to go through Lancaster. Back in the day, anyway, you had to go through Lancaster, Kentucky. And Lancaster, because I've been up and down that road many times, and I know they have a speed trap. They have those little cops there. This is before radar, okay? And they'll get you. They'll get you if you don't pay attention. And the speed limit is 35. And by golly, as soon as I came into that boundary, boom, I'm down at 35. Because I know what they're going to do. So I'm going 35, 2 o'clock in the morning, through Lancaster. Blue lights coming up behind me. I go, "What the heck?" I pull over, cop pulls behind me. I'm like, "Well, officer, I know the speed limit is 35. I was doing 35. I was paying attention." He goes, "It was a school zone." I go, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. He says, "Does the sign say except for 2 o'clock in the morning?" I mean, my land, what the heck is going on here? There are times when people just get so tight about it. But that's the law. Joseph is a tzaddik who follows the law, who is in a problem. He knows what the law says. But he's also been walking with God all of his life. And he's like, "There is no way I can have that done. I'll just divorce her quietly. We'll keep it on the low. Don't have to embarrass her. Certainly not going to have her killed. We're just going to keep it low." And then the angel shows up. You know how that story goes. And the angel says, "Don't be afraid, Joseph. Everything's going to be okay." And Joseph's thinking, "It's not looking so good for my end." It's not looking too good here at Elk. You know, sometimes we want to rush to the other side of Christmas where everything is all sweet and dear. And we look at Joseph and say, he was just spiritually slow. Okay, you know how you have eagles and pigeons? He's in the dodo class. He just doesn't figure it out. How can he not know that God's got a great plan? Because he's on the other side of Christmas. He doesn't know how this is all going to resolve. Right now, he's in the middle of a mess. And it's a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad. You spend your whole life trying to follow God's rules and follow God's law, and now all of a sudden this falls in your lap, and you don't know what you're doing, and you came up with a plan, and you think it's a good plan, and now the angel shows up, and he says, no, that's not the plan we want. Well, wouldn't it have been easier for God just to tell me what the plan was supposed to be? If God would have told me what the law was supposed to be, then I would follow that, but that would just. You ever get that way with God? Am I the only person that gets that way with God? I get so frustrated. I want to please God. I want to do what God desires, but I'm confused. I'm not always sure what it is I'm supposed to do. I can sometimes know what the Bible says, but that doesn't always line up with everything else that I know about God. Because I know more than just what's in the book about God. I try to walk with God. I try to live with God. And I try to be open to the way God is trying to lead me. And that's what Joseph is doing. But he has to go through all this anxiety, and he has to go through all this chaos, and he's just really, really struggling, and he's not sure, how is this supposed to work out? I don't understand. Now, if you've ever seen the classic Disney movie Tarzan, it's a Christmas movie. You didn't know the classic Disney Tarzan movie? It's possible I'm wrong. I might have missed. But in that movie, if you'll remember, all right, when Kara, you know, Tarzan's parents unfortunately die, and then the gorilla tribe get, and then the mom's like, oh, you know, it's gonna be on, and she goes, you know, to her husband who's the head of the tribe, and Kerchak says, you know, finally he gives in. Okay, he can stay. But that doesn't make him my son. He can stay, but it doesn't make him my son. He will always be second class. He's not really going to be a part. I won't leave him out to die, but I'm not going to include him either. I see your faces. You guys didn't know that part of the movie. Let me rush to the end real quick. It ends up being okay? But at that moment, it's not so much. Now, Joseph is being asked to do something more than that. Joseph is saying, make him your son. Bring him in to your family. Bring him in. He will be known as the son of David. Through you, Joseph, because of you, he is going to be known as a son of David. He is part of the family. He is part of the group. When you include somebody who doesn't seem like they should be included, you are showing forth God's plan. You are showing forth God's plan. And it's five, you know, that's what kills me sometimes about how people read the Bible. Because if you read the first 17 verses, which, thank goodness you did not have to do that, did you, Caitlin? If you know the Matthew story, then you know the first 17 verses are nothing but, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. You ever read the first 17 verses? That's all it is. Begat, 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 begat. You're just like, oh my God, I get it. There's a lot of begatting going on. All right? And all of that is happening. But if you've ever paid attention to it, even though it's a Jewish list, even though they have rules as how you did genealogy, in Matthew's version, he breaks the rules because he includes four women. I don't know how they used to think women got, I mean, you know, if you're going to have begatting, you're going to have women involved. But he put them in the list. He wrote their names down. The first woman on the list, Rahab. Do you remember Rahab? Oh yeah, see, all the guys are going, oh yeah, I know about Rahab. Not that I ever visited the place, but I've heard about that place. Rahab, she was the prostitute. She was the prostitute that hid the spies at Jericho. when they were getting ready to come into the promised land. She was the spy. She lived there and yet sheltered them, providing that opportunity for Israel to enter the promised land. She's in there. Tamar is in there. Tamar had to pose as a prostitute in order to get somebody to do the right thing. And then when she got caught trying to play the part in order to get somebody to do the right thing, when Judah's brought, we're going to bring her before Judah, and Judah's going to sentence her to death. He sees Tamar and says, she is more righteous than me. She is more right than me. She is right. I am wrong. Her name's in the Bible. You got Ruth in the Bible. Ruth! You've heard of Ruth? She's not even Jewish. She's a Moabite. You got a Moabite in a Jewish list? How can this be possible? How is this purity? She's not a pure blood. She's a no blood. What the heck is she doing in this list? And yet, she ends up being the great-grandmother. David, ever hear of him? Yeah. What about Jesus? Ever hear about him? Yeah. She's in the genealogy of Jesus. Because she's in the genealogy of Joseph. Well, you say, well, who's the fourth one? Somebody you've never heard of. Bathsheba. Now, I know there's romance movies about it, but at the biblical version, this is what happens to Bathsheba. She gets assaulted. Her husband gets murdered. And then she has to marry the person who assaulted her and arrange for the murder of her husband. She has a son who's way down on the succession list. And yet somehow he ends up becoming the king. Solomon. Did you ever hear of him? You see, the idea is that God works through our messes all the time. Whatever the mess is, God is working through that mess. And God is always going to seek to take away what we think things are. He's always going to expand our vision. He doesn't narrow our vision. He expands it. He is showing Joseph what it means to be a true tzaddik. To truly be righteous means that you don't just follow. You follow God. And when God calls you and God works on you, and if you've ever read the book, then you know that God is always surprising people. Always going against the grain. Always doing things that doesn't make any sense. But that's not the way I think it should go. Well, I always thought it was supposed to be like this. Well, and you can proof text anything you want. But if you're going to follow God, you got to give up your opinions. And you got to give up your ways of thinking it ought to go. You got to be understanding about God's going to work through us in a way that doesn't always make sense to us. To be a tzaddik means you're going to stand up for people. I think I shared with you once before, and I'm sorry, Chris, it's a California story. And well, it is sometimes. So the guy's in California, and he lives in L.A., and his friend from New York is coming. Okay, so he goes to the airport, picks up his friend at the airport. This is way before all this stuff that's on now. And he picks his friend up at the airport, and they're in the parking garage, and he puts his friend's luggage in the trunk and all that. And then he opens his door, and he gently hits the car next to him, with the car door, just bumps it. Well, that person happens to be in the car, and he jumps out. What the heck's the matter with you? You know how people can be. And he starts jumping all over this guy. And he's like, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I did bump your car. There's not any, no damage. And he's just going on and on and on. And the New Yorkers just had it. And finally, he jumps out of the car and says, hey, you want to start talking trash or do you want to settle this right now? He says, I'm from New York and you should probably know something about me. And they start going at it. And finally the LA guy starts backing down a little bit because he can see this guy really means business and he's big and he's strong and it might not work so well for him. And he goes, I'm not talking to you anyways. And the New York guy says, when you're talking to him, you're talking to me. You see, that's what Joseph did. That's what it means to be a true tzaddik. A true tzaddik stands up for those who are vulnerable. A true tzaddik stands up for those who are being judged. A true tzaddik. See, Joseph just seems to be standing there. But by standing there, he's showing more than what he stands for. He's showing who he stands with. And if somebody is weak, if somebody is vulnerable, if somebody is being turned on, if somebody is being rejected, if somebody is being judged, that's where tzaddik people stand. God is working through Joseph to show what true righteousness is about. And God's true righteousness, God's plan, God's desire is for the world to understand that everybody means everybody, that it's not complicated. It can be difficult. But it's not complicated. It means sometimes going against things that the way we think they're supposed to be, and we have to think about things in a new way. Joseph is not a barn boy. Joseph is a person of faith, a tzaddik, who stands with those who are vulnerable, who stands outside of the circle. Joseph is a tzaddik so that God's light shines. Joseph is a tzaddik so that God's faithfulness can bring light and bring hope and bring love and bring grace. So that when we celebrate Jesus' birthday, we're able to celebrate those gifts of Christmas, to show what true faithfulness is looking like. And I'll tell you right now what it looks like. It looks like you. It looks like you. Because that's the kind of faithfulness you show. It's not just where you stand. It's who you stand for. And it's who you stand with. It's your willingness to say, you're talking to them, you're talking to me. Because they're with me. And I'm going to provide for them, and I'm going to protect them, and make sure that they know they are always going to be a part of the family of God. Amen.